Would you rather start learning about AI now when everyone else is still figuring it out, or when the smart people have already nailed it and crushed it and you're just starting to try to struggle through this whole AI learning curve when everyone else in your space is already dominating?
Yes, it's replacing people, right? But you're not just replacing the cost of that direct cost that that person is costing you. What it is the efficiency goes through the roof.
So as a business owner, you need to start hiring people or looking for people who know how to use AI in their day-to-day jobs.
On a practical level, what is the AI doing that stays?
Well, what we do at EarlyBird, we help businesses take new inquiries, qualify them, book them in for appointments and follow up through to the sale, right? That's essentially what we do 24/7.
How much could he wipe out with AI on a practical level?
If you're working behind a computer and your job is in any way repetitive, you're out. Businesses are resistant to change. People are resistant to change. So you've got to decide, are you going to go through the pain of change now, or the pain of regret and getting crushed when your competition comes through and steamrolls you as well?
What's up, guys? Welcome to this episode of Unemployable. Today, we are joined in studio by Chris from EarlyBird AI. This is not a sales pitch at all for EarlyBird. This conversation is just actually a massive wake-up call and ringing the alarm bells that no matter whether you're a business owner or an employee, you need to realize that AI is changing the world, not tomorrow, but right now. Thousands and thousands of jobs are being lost in this country and every country around the world because of AI. But at the same time, opportunities are being opened. People are making massive amounts of money by embracing the change. And in this podcast, we go into a lot of detail about that. We get Chris to spill the beans on what he sees as the top opportunities right now, down to really granular examples. And we talk about how we're using it in our lives and businesses right now. It's really a wide-ranging discussion. We give plenty of examples of real people from unexpected quarters, from people in their 60s who are doing career transitions that now involve AI, to young people that are upskilling massively and being able to charge thousands of dollars a month for knowing stuff that boomers, for example, don't know. So it's a really cool, helpful pod. I hope you enjoy it. Lock it in. Drop a comment. Bye for now. What is up, everybody? Welcome to this episode of Unemployable. Today, we have got somewhat of an emergency podcast, really. We have with us today, Chris from EarlyBird AI. Now, guys, I want to say up front, this is not going to be a pitch for EarlyBird. Many of you do know Chris from previous pods. Yes, he runs an AI company. We're really doing this podcast because Chris is in the unique position of seeing business owners right now implementing AI into their business. And as the CEO of a growing AI agency, he needs to be at the forefront of what's going on. And there's so much happening in the world right now. The AI narrative is inescapable. And, you know, there's so many vectors happening at the moment in mainstream media. I'm watching Doge right now in the US, and we're seeing massive cuts. And I heard something stunning this week, which was that in Washington, D.C., property prices have dropped by more than 10% in 4 weeks since they laid off thousands of federal workers. Now, this story vector got my head going because, like him or hate him, when you see Elon Musk making massive cuts, when he did it with Twitter, corporations around the world, CEOs around the world had to ask the question themselves, like, let's just see if Twitter collapses here. But not only did it not collapse, it actually got more efficient and more profitable. And they're doing it now in government. And when you see these large scale adjustments, tectonic plates shifting and things working out okay, AI is kind of that story vector. So if you own a business or you're in a job, actually almost nobody is safe from the impact that AI can potentially have on our lives, some of it positive, some of it actually downright scary. So with that being said, Chris, welcome to the show. How are you doing, buddy?
Very well. It's great to be here again. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So those who don't know Chris, his name is Chris Jeong, runs a company called EarlyBird AI, and that's E-A-R-L-I, rather than Y. We got James here. How are you doing, James?
Very well. Looking forward to this pod. As you said, we actually have had Chris on the pod many times before, but just the rate and the speed of the technology within AI and all the use cases is just go parabolic. So it'd be a great session.
Yeah. Very, very interested with this. Eric, how are you, mate? You well?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. This is a topic that I think a lot of people aren't taking seriously. Yeah.
And it's a serious topic that people need to learn about because it's changing so fast, like James said. And even for someone like me, who's not as tech savvy as some of the others on the panel, it sometimes it scares me, to be honest,
yeah,
at how fast it is actually moving.
Yeah, I mean, it's also like with all the businesses and every morning you wake up and you go through the scroll on Insta and there's a new AI that's being dropped, or there's a new function within some of these AIs being dropped. It just blows your mind. It's just like, this is just getting really, really such momentum. And we'll dive into that, obviously, about how that's going to look and affect business owners especially.
And it's starting, guys, you know, to be what I'm starting to notice is even the businesses that are sort of not early adopters are now seeing it at the top of their consciousness. I was at my doctor yesterday getting a treatment, a PRP treatment, to stop my hair falling out. So they suck your blood out and they spin it and they pull the plasma out and inject it into your head to stop your hair falling out. So I was up in Brisbane yesterday getting that done. And while I was in the chair and the doctor was injecting the plasma into my head, I said, hey, you should have AI answering your phones because you didn't confirm my appointment today. And he was like, really? And I was like, normally I get a text from you. She said, oh, the girl must have been busy. And I was like, yeah, you know, like I actually texted in and said, is my appointment on? Because I don't want to drive up. I said, watch this. And then I called up, the AI phone number for you guys. And I just said, hey, and I had a chat with your AI saying, hey, I've got a hair transplant clinic. You know, I'm thinking of getting, I had this full conversation and he was like, we've really got to get across this. I've been thinking about this. When it starts filtering to doctors and they have an awareness of it, you know that it's becoming mainstream now. So Chris.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's not just doctors as well. It's the most non-technical businesses that you would believe. So we've had calls with people who have like conduits. They literally manufacture conduits for piping and everything coming through construction. All these companies that are really running off spreadsheets, even like, you know, mowing, repair companies, all the non-technical businesses are now starting to think on and act on this as well. So now is the time.
Here's a couple of headlines just for those of you if I didn't already get your attention. This is a story out of the US. Reuters have published it. DBS is set to cut 4,000 jobs over 3 years due to AI, net 3,000 job losses. Commonwealth Bank, in a separate story, Commonwealth Bank exploring the prospect of replacing call service jobs with AI-driven chatbots. And companies have already replaced workers with AI in 2024-25 in the thousands on tech.co. So we're seeing massive job losses right now. Are we seeing, Chris, where do you see the opportunities? I mean, I think, where do you see the risks for people who are listening to this who are in jobs or in businesses, and where do you see the opportunity for people who are in these positions?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great question. So the risk is those who look at what's going on right now and do nothing, right? Absolutely nothing. It's like the best way I can sort of explain this is like the action's already happened. We're just yet to feel the impact. So think about a tsunami. You know, you have an earthquake that happens offshore and then, you know, hours, if not days later, you see the wave hit the shore as well. Or even think about inflation, right? Through COVID or that money printing, you know, that action happened. We didn't see the effects of that for 2 to 3 to 4 years later. So the action's already happened with AI. It happened in, you know, November 2022 when ChatGPT came out public. And so we're waiting and watching the reaction come through. So the risks of people who are looking at what's going on and do nothing, right? If you do nothing, you're going to get wiped out. But those who actually see AI, they start learning and adopting and using it, they're the ones who are going to absolutely crush right now.
And you've got two parts of that equation. You've got the business owner.
Yes.
And then you've got the employee.
Correct.
So you've got two parts of the equation there that need to get education. One, I think, would be the business owner. And if they're not going to be that person who's going to be pulling the lever and implementing it, finding someone who can.
And definitely.
So what would you say to someone who's in the business role? And then what would you say to someone who's actually the employee that is fear of getting becoming one of the 3,000? What are they going to do?
Great question. So if you're a business owner, you need to start getting AI in the business right now, obviously, which is what we've been saying. But employing people who know how to use AI or starting to teach people how to use AI. So we've been talking to companies who, you know, literally it's so hard to get people to move an opportunity card from one pipeline stage to another, like as salespeople to get things going on. So these things are going to take time, right? So you'd want to be, as a business owner, orienting your business around AI, your team, your future hires. Everything needs to be focused on, do you know how to use AI or are you at least learning how to as well? One of our clients, I had a call with them on Monday. It's one of the first questions they ask them now when they're hiring new people. Do you use ChatGPT? Are you familiar with it? If they're not, they say you've got to get onto it right now, straight away. So as a business owner, you need to start hiring people or looking for people who know how to use AI in their day-to-day jobs. If you're an employee, you need to learn how to use AI. If you do not know how to use at least ChatGPT, you're going to be out of work, essentially.
And the thing is that, you know, even for myself, I use it quite a lot. Adam does, and Eric to a probably a lesser degree. Is it, you know, you say, well, we need to upskill using GPT at least. The thing changes every day. It's not like a uni course of law or accounting. Like you've learned it and it's a skill for life. This whole thing is just snowballing.
This is a huge
keeping up with tough.
Yeah, and even just the educational space in this in the area too.
Chris, I want to just pause there for a second, and I want the listeners not to miss what you said.
Mm.
That frame of the tsunami is really powerful.
Mm.
It's like an asteroid hit in the middle of the ocean and the waves coming. And I think for everyone listening, I want you to really get that vision in your head, because this is what happens with markets generally, right? Like as we sit here today, the crypto markets are being slaughtered, right? Bitcoin's down like 10% or 15% or something. And I'm able to sit here calmly as a crypto owner, knowing the bigger picture. I understand that the US debt is the US debt, and they are at a point where it's actually mathematical fact, they're going to have to start printing. So I'm unfazed by what's happening because I understand the context. And when you think about AI, it's very important that you have that context. Sticking your head in the sand on the beach and pretending that, oh, well, I'm just going to stick my head in the sand, and you look up, there's a tidal wave in front of you. This is really a very powerful narrative that you've got to think. Just because your competitors right now, you're not seeing it in their business, trust me, in the boardrooms around, and if you're working in a business and nobody's talking about AI, that you hear from your position, that's probably because you're too far down the chain. Because you either work in a dumb company or you work in a company where they're just not letting the employees know yet, because they're basically herding you into the cattle to be chopped off. It is that significant an impact.
I actually read this DBS article on Reuters, and the CEO says, I've always been a CEO that is always creating jobs. And he goes, the issue is now, I can't find the jobs to create because of the AI implementation. So they let go of 4,000 and they've hired 1,000 within the AI, right? So obviously you're letting people go, but then you have other people that are helping running, managing the AI. But that's still 3,000 people, right? Like, where are they going to go? What are they going to do? And that's one company of thousands of companies. And the other article that you mentioned as well, going, you know, the companies that have already replaced workers in 2024 and 2025, you know, big companies, Google, these types of companies, Apple. And it's amazing that when a CEO says that, like, I'm a CEO that wants to create more jobs and always looking to create more jobs, not make cuts, to then go and say, I actually can't create them because they're being overtaken by AI. Like, that's a big realization.
No disrespect to, I'll use an example. We're not talking about people who lead manual labor jobs like a cleaner. We're talking about educated, experienced team. And then when you displace those guys, I mean, there's a big chasm there.
Do you think, Chris, we're heading to a world where you have to make a decision that you either are going to be part of the masses where you get taken care of through some form of UBI, universal base income, or you become one of the people who successfully transition to becoming useful in the AI transformation? So you're going to have these sort of entrepreneurs that are helping facilitate AI, or you've got people not just low wage jobs, but actually, like, there's AI performing when AI and robotics merge. And you've got artificial intelligence that's smarter than a human, that is more consistent than a human, doesn't get drunk or get high like a human, and can do a brain surgery with more than zero tremble, higher accuracy, which is already happening, by the way. There's brain surgeries being done by robots that are more accurate and being driven by intelligence that's more intelligent. So it's not just low-income workers that are at risk here. It is literally brain surgeons, lawyers, everyone. So do you see a world where we're going to have this universal base income group, and then we're going to have this small group of people who are facilitating? Because I've seen plenty of YouTubers say the world as we know it has about 3 to 5 years left, and then there's a massive shift happening on planet Earth because of AI.
Yeah, absolutely nailed it. And if we zoom in on that brain surgeon approach as well, there's no fatigue there either, because brain surgeries take 10, 12, 13 hours. So yes, to answer your question, 100%, that is where I think the future is going. And the window of opportunity to moving from the UBI class to the class that's in control or at least has some sort of agency is closing, right? Because if you think about what happens with these people when they leave, when they get fired from these jobs, the brain surgeons, the intelligence people, they have to do something. So if you think your job's not at risk, maybe you're a tradie or maybe you're more hands-on right now and robotics hasn't come in and impacted you, those other people who are smart, they're driven, they're ambitious, they're going to need employment. They're going to come for those sorts of jobs as well, which means that the existing workforce is going to get even more diluted as well. So 100%, it is moving in that way. You need to move now because that gap is going to close. Think about this. Would you rather start learning about AI now when everyone else is still figuring it out, or when the smart people have already nailed it and crushed it and you're just starting to try to struggle through this whole AI learning curve when everyone else in your space is already dominating? You'd want to do that now.
I think people know that they need to learn AI, but it's an overwhelming topic, right? We talk about it a lot, you know, we're obviously, you know, with early bird and whatnot. And you start looking at it and going, it's moving very, very fast, right? So, and it's overwhelming. Like anyone that's on a call that has a business that doesn't pull the trigger, all that tells me is they don't understand it or they're confused on how it's actually going to work in their business. Where do people start, right? So there's a lot of viewers that are listening to this, the first-time entrepreneurs, they're looking for products, they're not even thinking about AI. So what are some kind of practical apps or tools that they can research and they can use? Because I think the thing is people look at AI and they think of ChatGPT and they think that's what AI is, right? Just basically a Google search on steroids, basically. And it's so much more than that. So can you explain?
Yeah, it's a great question. So there's a big opportunity here. So the first thing I'll just do is explain the difference between like ChatGPT and what's happening now with AI agents. So AI really can be split into two different areas. There's generative AI, which is basically put in an input like ChatGPT and it generates a response. Same with like Midjourney for all your images. So your generative AI. Now what's happening is AI agents, which is when that AI is taking action and doing things. And that's the scary part for businesses and entrepreneurs, or sorry, employees who don't act. So if you're not at least familiar with things like ChatGPT and the generative AI tools out there, just go to YouTube and start searching, how do I use ChatGPT? Go to OpenAI itself and get ChatGPT and start talking to it and start asking it questions. How do I get the most out of you? Look at other tools like Claude from Anthropic as well, which is a great alternative to ChatGPT. And that's all of your generative AI things. Then also, again, right now, YouTube would be the place I'd go for even just AI agents, because this space in AI education, there's really nowhere to go. There's no authority yet. It is still developing. And so again, wide open opportunity for people to come and seize that. But go to YouTube and start looking at videos. Search AI agents. What can AI do? Go to OpenAI itself. They have a lot of videos and articles on there as well. And you can start learning and start immersing yourself. But the distinction between generative AI and AI agents is huge, because you think about just the impact that we've seen so far from AI, that's mostly been generative AI. That's your ChatGPT. We're about to start moving into AI agents, where AI is starting to act and do things, make your calls, take your calls, send your messages, you know, do your reporting. All that stuff will be done and more through the actual agents as well, which is huge.
So one is kind of like giving you a response to your input.
Yes.
So it's you put something in, it gives you a response. The other is proactively doing things for you.
Yes, you set the task and the context and it'll go do all that for you. So I guess one way to think about it is one is like a calculator and the other one could be like a financial advisor. So the calculator is, hey, I'm going to put in my numbers and calculate my returns. The other ones that say, I want to make 10% return year on year, go do that. And it'll go do it all for you, manage all the tasks and actions.
Mm. The rate at which it's changing is amazing. I sent in our chat group the other day, I saw YouTube has an update in their app. In the YouTube app, which I use every single day, you can now go in there, and I did this and I showed the boys, and you can say, please generate an AI video for me with this, like a guy walking through an e-commerce warehouse. And boom, it says, wait, boom, 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 just like creating an image, it created a video, lifelike video of a dude walking through an e-commerce warehouse. And I'm just like, and that's free on YouTube. And so you start looking at these tools. And I think it's like most things, you've got to really just start creating an echo chamber of learning. So you go into YouTube and said, how to use ChatGPT. And all of a sudden you start learning how to use ChatGPT. A good example of somebody, like a practical transition I've seen just recently, is one of our clients, Matt, in Melbourne. So Matt is a tech guy, and he became quite interested in AI generated music. And so he created an echo chamber. So what I mean, for those who don't know what an echo chamber is, when you start searching things online, the algorithms notice what you're looking for and then start sending you more information to support that interest. So when you go onto YouTube, you create an echo chamber. And Matt put, how do we learn AI music? And now he's got his own AI channel on YouTube called DIY. I can't remember what it's called.
Something like that.
Yeah. And now he's got like 4,000 or 5,000 followers on YouTube that are engaging with him, and he's creating bands and albums where the names of the band are created by AI. The album cover artwork is created by AI. The lyrics are all created by AI, and he's using an AI music engine to create the songs, and he's releasing albums and songs that are all AI generated. And he's got a community of people now forming around this interest. So that's an example of a guy that it's half the size of our channel, and he's doing it at home without any budget at all. And I can see in the future, in a couple of years, he might have 50 or 100,000 AI music enthusiasts now following that, and he can monetize that in all sorts of ways, from merch to actually paid album releases to events to education. So that's an example of somebody who's actually embracing AI and transitioning into that other side.
Yeah,
which is interesting.
It's not just theory, it's practice. You know, like if we just obviously rattled off a few different articles of companies firing people and everything. I know last year I was talking to someone who works in media, 900 people got fired because AI does all their jobs. So this is an example of someone who's taking the theory and applying it and starting to see the benefits. And again, so you think about in 6 months' time, someone else comes in and starts trying to do AI music. Who's going to win, Matt or the new person? No doubt it's going to be Matt, because he's got that experience, that time, that learning, the lessons, and that established history that's built up by starting now versus later on.
Can you give us an example of a small business implementation that somebody, like, let's look at it from the business owner's point of view. The way capitalism works is that money goes towards efficiency, right? So the more efficient and the more somebody can drive a price down, that price is a big factor. And look at Amazon, right? Amazon is Amazon because they've managed to become extremely efficient in the delivery of goods globally. And you can say what you like about them and whether they're ethically or moral or all that stuff. But at the end of the day, they're freaking rich, right? So from a capitalistic point of view, you get rewarded in capitalism for efficiency. And this is not a statement or judgment. I don't want to be barbecued over this. It's just a fact. So what's an example of, from a business owner's point of view, where you could easily, let's say it's Eric's business. He's got 170 employees. Eric, how many of those people are in warehouse? How many people are in behind the computer jobs? Just roughly, if you were just to break it up.
I would say approximately 35-40% warehouse.
Right. And the rest are in like administrative, so marketing, accounting, yep. Legal.
Yep. Upstairs.
Okay. So in his business, how much could he wipe out with AI on a practical level?
Practically, a lot of the people upstairs could go. So if you think about if you're working behind a computer and your job is in any way repetitive, you're out and going to be out.
How much do you spend on staff a year roughly?
Too much.
Millions. Is it
millions.
Tens, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Tens of millions?
Yeah.
I'm just thinking.
Wages in any business is such a high percentage, right? But the thing is, with businesses, and this is all businesses, when you're doing something the same way for a long period of time, change becomes difficult.
Yeah.
Because it's like, why fix something when it's not broken? But you're only as efficient as you know, right? Until you start implementing something else and going, holy shit, ChatGPT. Like the other day I injured my Achilles, somewhere near my Achilles, right? And I straight away went to, like, I couldn't walk and I went on ChatGPT, right? I wouldn't have done this before if ChatGPT wasn't there. And I said, this is what happened. You know, unfortunately, I wish I was, you know, you know, roundhouse kicking someone, and that's how I know I got injured. But the reality was I was wearing the wrong shoes on the treadmill. And I guess at 41, these things start happening. And it was explaining to me, but before I even said that, and I was saying I was on the treadmill, it comes back and goes, were you wearing new shoes that you usually don't use? I'm like, yes. All right. Well, based on this, this, and this, this is what it will be. I go to the doctor 4 or 5 days later, and he said the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. So going to the doctor, right, half an hour, hour, 15 minutes back to get, you're spending an hour and a half to get the exact same answer that I got from ChatGPT,
yeah.
Right? And it's the same thing in business. Like, if you don't know, like, yes, are we using ChatGPT? Yes, I think most businesses are using ChatGPT. Now, the way I use ChatGPT, I shouldn't say most, but the way I use ChatGPT is a lot different than the way James uses ChatGPT, right? Because of the amount of research, education, involvement that he's educating himself around. And it's the same thing in business. And this is where good businesses will become great, and great businesses will become even better once they adopt the technology. And the ones that don't adopt, right, will definitely fall behind. And that's a fear. It's a fear of mine all the time. Like, a lot of people, like in MX and Fight, in the group of companies, we really don't concentrate on the competition, right? We just concentrate on what we do and what we're good at. But the issue now with AI, it's basically brought in an unfair advantage to intellect, right? So the people that are, you know, like some of my business partners are unbelievable intellect, but all you need is to get one AI weapon like a Chris, right? And go, all right, I want you. Like, again, if I didn't know who you were, well, if I knew who you were and we didn't do business or whatever, like you'd be one of those guys where I'd be like, come in the business, work full time. What do you want? And just go into every area in the business and implement what you know about AI.
This is what I'm getting at. See, the luxury you have at MX is there's only one MX in Australia.
Yeah.
But if it was the US and there's two MXs, yeah. And I was just getting to this point, let's say he's got a $100 million company, right? And let's say his net profit's 10%, right? Which is, I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying an e-commerce store of that size, somewhere between 10 and 20% is probably your margin, right? Like, I don't know. But let's say you're making $10 million a year, which is a great business. If all of a sudden, like many of these businesses, maybe 30% of their, or 25% or 30% of their cost base, right, is staff. If you can carve out $2 or $3 million in staff savings, that can be 20, 30% bump in your income. And if there's two MXs in the US, the one company that disrupts themselves first now either becomes way more profitable and adding, when you add 20, 30% to your bottom line and you're at that scale, a business that might be worth 100, 200 million, that's $20, $30 million in equity to the stakeholders. Yeah. So whoever actually leans in is going to win. This is where the economies of scale come in. And it's actually not like a guy like Chris coming in and going through the upstairs area of any business pretty much in Australia, not just MX, any business, and says, you know, that whole group there, we could do this and this, and it'll cost, not, it's not like just a saving of 20 or 30%. It's a saving of like 90%, yeah. Right?
The beauty with AI as well is when you look at us humans, right? Some work a lot harder than others. Some are more efficient than others. Some are smarter than others. But even all of us here at the table, and we go, okay, I work 8 hours a day or 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day, whatever it is. And you go, how efficient was I today? Out of those 12 hours, how many hours did I actually work and got shit done? And what was the rest of it that you're scrolling or looking at stuff or replying to comments or going to the toilet or going, hey, let's go grab a coffee down the road and there's a half an hour. That is all efficiency, right? The walking down and walking on break and all this stuff. Whereas with AI, it has none of that. And that's one thing that we're not taking into account. Yes, it's replacing people, right? But you're not just replacing the cost of that direct cost of that person is costing you. What it is the efficiency goes through the roof. So if you have a proper well-oiled machine, right? An AI agent, as an example, and it replaces one human. How many humans can it actually replace? And that is the question mark I have, right? Because it's 24/7. There's no, like you said earlier, there's no fatigue.
Yeah, that's
even right. When you're working and you're going, I worked 8 hours today, but really I've only worked four, right? Are you working that 4 hours at 110% capacity at every time? No, you're not. You know, the night before, if you didn't get good sleep or you ate sugar too late or whatever it is, right? Drank a bit too much alcohol, you're not going to be running on all cylinders. Whereas AI.
I mean, also to that end as well, internally for businesses, but people actually solving real world problems. You've got the guy, I only read an article on the other night and then watched a YouTube video, Martin Shkreli, the guy who created that drug and it went priced at 50 cents, so you'd pay up to $7 and end up in a whole all world of trouble. He's out of the clink now, but he's actually launched Dr. Gupta and he's going through to try and solve that problem because America's healthcare system's in a shambles and it's super duper expensive. And go through FDA approval with the response that this AI is actually building and raising a shit ton of capital around the traps with them and the cap raising fraternity. But yeah, stuff like that, real world doctors with FDA approved outcomes to supply healthcare solutions for the lower socioeconomic people of America. I mean, it's huge.
Content creation, Chris. We talk about content creation now more than ever, and that content creation is a volume play and. That's what's going to be, taking over basically whether your business becomes successful or not is how much attention that you get through these social media platforms. How can AI help with that? Is there an AI out there that can help with creating content creation? Obviously, you just mentioned on YouTube, you can now just go, hey, show me a guy walking through a warehouse rather than going and hiring a videographer and filming you going through the warehouse and taking all that time. Yeah. Is there any tools out there that people can use?
There are a lot. There are a lot of tools. And I'll come back on a couple of those items as well from before. But I mean, in terms of content creation, obviously the good old ChatGPT can help you script up your videos, write your emails, use social media posts. That's all pretty standard. When it comes to video, you've got things like HeyGen, which is actually coming along really well now. So you can clone yourself, and even the captions app as well does this. And basically you have unlimited content. We're actually in talks with an editor right now where they're going to help us create our own sort of version of me, an AI version of me, and then look at creating unlimited content with that as well. So, HeyGen is a good one. Captions app is another good one.
Chris, just to listen, I don't think people actually understood what you just said.
Yeah.
So, I want to double click on that. So, I know what you said because I understand HeyGen. Yeah. So, basically, this enables me to film you saying a bunch of scripts, right? And that becomes the source of truth, so to speak, the model inside of HeyGen. And then you can just feed a script in. So, or somebody working for you can say, we want Chris to say this because we're producing a whole bunch of content. It could be training manuals. It could be standard operating procedure. It could be ads for social media.
Yep.
It could be an email that goes out to your customers with a link you click and there's a video of Chris saying something. So anything we want Chris to say in the organization can just be typed up by AI or by somebody that works for you working with AI, fed into HeyGen off the model that now has your voice, your face, and moves your lips and your eyebrows and all this stuff. And then they push a button, and then a few minutes later, that video of you that you never produced is going to come out. Is that right?
That's exactly right. You can now digitally clone yourself.
Right, and that alone is amazing. And this is what's happening. There's agencies now that are signing celebrities up where they get them their likeness and it's photo. You cannot tell. So you can go along and say, hey, to Dave Beckham's thing, you can apply, say, hey, I've got these gummy bears or I've got this thing that I want Dave Beckham to be the face of it. You can put in the creative and the script and then get a quote for the right to have that image licensed to them. Actually, Black Mirror has actually released the TV series Black Mirror has done a whole episode on this.
But it is pretty wild though, you think about that. So practically what you'd want to do is to get yourself set up in a studio like this and maybe two or three other different shots so they don't all look the same. If you're in a studio, you can be the same shot behind the scenes all the time, but you want to have a few different locations that you're recording in. So then that way for different use cases of the videos, whether it's a thank you video, an onboarding video, training videos, then you can have different scenes there.
And so with that, hey, Jenna, I mean, it's great to clone your face, but does it also have the ability to drop in the subtitles, like you see in the reels and the shorts and all the imagery as well. Like, is it, or is there
you could, app, that, you can use other apps for that.
You could just grab the video, drop it into captions, for example, and then have captions put it over.
Yeah. But would that also, not just text-based captions, would that put imagery in as well? Like, show an example of, you know, whatever the case may be, but like sort of cuts away from face.
B-roll.
There are some other clips. Yeah, Opus Clip is one of the most popular ones out there for that. So what you do with Opus Clip is you take a podcast episode like this, you'd load it in there, and it'll analyze for all the most viral-worthy clips and extract those for you. They've got a new feature that's come out in the last few months.
Opus Clip.
Yeah, O-P-U-S.
We tried it early on, it wasn't
Yeah, yet. Early on that. It's developing. And this is the other thing too, by the way. Think about AI like last year. It's like, and this sounds great, but think about it now. Like the evolution of the Nokia phone, or the phone, the old bricks, to the iPhone now, and so it's a matter of time. So Opus is a lot better now.
Think about like this unlocks so much value and opportunity for coaches, right? Yeah. Like when I had Reliable, the big thing is couldn't sell it because I was the face of it. But what if I was just a AI that a team of people could create text-based content working with an AI, and then just I could be producing literally 100 videos a day without me even having to come in the studio?
That's why I asked the question, because we're producing a coaching program right now. So
there's huge opportunities, and this is why we're having this discussion, guys, is so that hopefully something might pop in your head, a little piece of popcorn that goes up and goes, wow, that's an opportunity that you could go and help coaches, or you could go and help intellectual property workers, you know, or create efficiencies like in companies like Eric's. You can create massive, like if you can add $2 or $3 million to a company's bottom line in 6 months by being a savage with AI, how much are they going to pay you for that? Yeah. Because if you can save $2 or $3 million in 1 year, it's $20 or $30 million over 10.
And it could just be one thing, right?
Totally.
Like you don't have to go and know. Like Chris is well-rounded, right? He knows all of this stuff through the, you know, AI and Opus Clip and all these different types of platforms. But all you need to do is be an expert on one. And go to many.
I remember years ago coming up, there was these people selling that used to go into businesses and say, look, it's free to have a meeting with us. We are efficiency experts. We've got better rates on electricity, better rates on phones, better rates on insurance. We'll come in, give us all your information, and we'll come back and give you a mass saving. And we give you, and they charged 20% of the first year savings or something on your phones, your power, your insurance, and so on. And there were people making hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars just going in and doing that. And it's similar here, you know, where if Chris went in and did that for these guys, Eric and the boys over at MX would be able to refer you to five of their mates who have other e-com businesses or businesses of that scale.
And this is like when people complain, you know, we talk about, you know, house pricing and the unfair advantage the boomers have. But now we're talking about, you know, the technology that you can embrace. Like if you were to take 3 months, it might not even take 3 months, I don't know, and just go, I'm just going to deep dive into HeyGen and I'm going to learn everything about it, and then I'm going to implement that into e-com businesses or content creation businesses. The reality is this: people will listen to this, we will talk about it, we'll talk about HeyGen, we will talk about Opus Clip. People will be like, wow, this is amazing. And then life hits them in the face and they do nothing. And 12 months down the road, right, when their competition comes in and goes, holy shit, how are they putting all of this content out? That one must cost them a bomb. And this is a reality. This is why we need to take this very serious. I'm not even take it seriously enough in our businesses. I know we're not. And it's something that, it's at the forefront, because the thing is, we are all busy.
What's the one, Chris, that we used for a while where they've got all the actors loaded in there?
Something like ads, something or other.
It'll come to me.
Yeah.
And
it was great.
ARCADS.
ARCADS, that's the one.
Yep. ARCADS.
Yep.
And guys, what Eric's saying is 100% true. If you want to really start making change in your life, commit to going to ARCADS, for example, before today ends. I don't know what time you're listening to this, or even once this podcast finished. Go to ARCADS, open up an account, put the $50 credit card in so you get some credit, and you'll see a screen full of actors. You'll see males, females, old, young. You've got to pick the actor that you want. There's basically done what, Chris, they've already got all these models. They're real human beings, and they get paid every time you buy a video off them, they get paid a little percentage. So these people have fed their likeness in. Write a script for your business or a business that you frequent. Upload it in there. Pick the actor. You can add any little prompts like, I want it with high energy or low energy or whatever. Hit process. And then like 3 minutes later, you're going to have this actor speaking your script to you and it's almost indiscernible. And then imagine what it looks like with the bits where it's a little bit, you can tell maybe the eye move funny or the mouth. Just pop a little B-roll over it, which is like a little bit of video to cover that bit. Like when they're saying, I went down to Woolworths the other day to buy some Tim Tams. If it looked funny when they said Tim Tams, just get a little clip of somebody walking the aisles of Woolworths and put it over the top. That exercise alone will light your mind on fire with the opportunities. Just go and do it. What Eric said is 100% correct. But have a look at ArcAds. I'm sure that's even better than what it was. But that opens up for all the people, for example, that go, I would love to, you know, be on Instagram and sell products, but I don't want to be on camera. No problem.
No problem. No issue.
No issue. James is in that category. He doesn't want to be on camera, thankfully. And great head for radio. Well,
wow. That's let me kick that first. Talk about
I've seen better heads hanging out of cattle trucks. Over to you, Chris.
Yeah, look, there's so much to dive into here. And just what you mentioned about like the housing as well. I heard recently on a podcast, it was fantastic. So boomers had the advantage of affordable housing. So Gen X and Gen Y, those of us who are watching and learning right now, we have the advantage of global, affordable, small business accelerated with AI. So they had the housing advantage. Okay, we can bitch and moan all we want all about that. We have this advantage that they would crush for, they'll kill for, right? They would have killed for this advantage. So look at what we do have. But even on that too, in terms of practical use cases, if you're in business, you need to assign like an AI champion, right? So someone in your team who can take these things, do that action, follow this up. If you don't have someone in the team who you can assign as AI champion, it's going to be you, right? And as the AI champion, you have to go and double click and dive and take these actions, because there's also that saying of like the pain now versus the pain later, like you'll suffer the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. As you said earlier, Eric, it is difficult. Like businesses are resistant to change. People are resistant to change. So you've got to decide, are you going to go through the pain of change now or the pain of regret and getting crushed when your competition comes through and steamrolls you as well, which is just huge.
So this thing you said, Chris, there about the advantage of millennials, I will tell you a true story this week that happened that just blew me away. I'm currently paying $1,000 a month for PPC training, Google PPC training, because I need to understand how Google PPC works in the granular. So I'm paying a guy out of Perth, and for $1,000, I get an hour once a week for up to 4 calls a month. But I'm doing 2 or 3 because there's quite a lot of homework in there. And here I am as a Generation Xer plodding through this, okay, sitting there like this. I'm sort of halfway between an old man and a young person, and I'm learning it. And it's fascinating, and I'm really, really enjoying it, right? So I'm paying the $1,000 and I'm learning, and I would rate myself as about a 3 or 4 out of 10 at the moment from a flat 0, right? Because I finally took the plunge.
It's that time of year again at Unemployable, where we're opening up our Unemployable Business Coaching Program. It's over a 12-month period, and with that, you get private one-on-one coaching, group coaching, as well as private and live events throughout the year. You could get private coaching with me, and not only me, but our panel of experts that we have put together. These panel of experts have been in our network and are the exact people that we use in our business successes. People from branding, sales, marketing, our lawyers, our accountants, everyone that has helped build our businesses, you have access to. If this sounds of interest, go to www.unemployable.com.au/coaching and register your interest to see if it's a fit for you and us. Hope to see you there.
I sat down with Josh, my son Josh, right, because he's starting a little e-com brand. And I said, all right, Josh, let me show you how to build out a keyword list for your brand, which is a sleep brand. He's launching some sleep products. And I, here's what you do. You do this and you do that. And he goes, all right, yeah, got it. And I went up to get a cup of tea. And I came, I said, you have a play with that and start grabbing some keywords out of Keyword Planner and show me how you went. And I come back and he's like, and I explained to him a SCAG campaign, which is a single keyword ad group. And I thought, oh, yeah.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah. Not a slag.
Neither from my campaign.
You know, yeah. So I thought I was really clever. And he goes, got it. So he goes in to ChatGPT and he goes, ChatGPT, I want you to act like an elite Google keyword ad manager. I want you to create single keyword ad groups based on this and that and that. I want you to organize it into this. I want you to put it in a... And I hadn't told him to do any of this. He just organically, as a digital native, and this is a guy that used to build boats. He was a manual laborer building boats for Maritimo on the Gold Coast until about a year ago. He had not worked on computers in profession at all. He's worked with you for the last year in Early Bird, but other than that. And I watched him and I was like, what the fuck? Like, I'm paying $1,000 for coaching. I'm paying my agency $2,750 a month. So I'm currently paying nearly $4,000 a month. And this guy has just put together like this unbelievable set of keywords, all sorted out without any coaching from me in about 30 minutes. Yeah. And I'm just like, maybe I should be hiring Josh. You know, like, how many young people like that that can come in and he could have sorted my thing out and probably taught it back to me. I would willingly pay for somebody with that expertise. And he literally the first time he looked at Google AdWords. If he focused on that for 6 months, how valuable would he be?
Amazing.
As a coach, he could live anywhere in the world teaching people like I'm paying the guy $1,000 a month for 4 hours.
Absolutely.
You know, like he could be a consultant anywhere in the world. How to use AI, Google Ads, I'll teach you. I'll set it up using AI. Like he could live anywhere in the world and be busy.
I'm going to ask you a question, but I want you to think about it and I don't want you to answer it yet. If you are a person, young or old, right, that is looking for a side gig, something to do, and they want to embrace AI, what are some of the first things that you would do if you're in that same position, knowing what you know now, right? That's right. Going, I want to create a consultancy business. It's just me. And I want to go out to any business. It can be large business, it can be small business, it can be traditional businesses, online businesses. And what type of work would you do? Whether it was like what Adam just said, ads or pay gen, content creation, what would it be? I don't want you to answer it now. Just have a think.
Just
about
have a think, because I want to add one thing.
Because I want, we'll leave that right at the end.
Yep.
Think about it. Because I was going to say for Josh, like, if he could make a couple of hundred grand a year from anywhere in the world, he'd be stoked. All he'd need is 20 clients paying $1,000 a month. Do you know how many business owners there are like me that would love to transition away from having to pay agencies? Like James, you would line up if you could, you know. There's so many opportunities. That's just one, but I'd be stoked to hear Chris's take on that.
There's plenty. And I'll come back to that as well. But one other thing just to mention there is like expertise. And so think about this as well from the business owner's perspective. When someone leaves, you have a brain drain because they take that knowledge and information with them. When you're training and building these AI assets and AI agents into your business, so that stays with the company. Right, you can have people come and go, but that AI asset remains, which is also extremely valuable. And again, if you're coming from the employee or someone looking to make money with this, you can go and build these assets for the business because it's a very valuable thing on the balance sheet as well. So
explain what an asset means. So let's give us an example of a business that's built an AI asset that stays with the business. Like on a practical level, what is the AI doing that stays?
Yeah, so what we do at Early Bird, we help businesses take new inquiries, qualify them, book them in for appointments and follow up through to the sale, right? That's essentially what we do 24/7. And so an asset for the business there would be a salesperson or an appointment setter or a closer. You know, we've spoken to many people this year who've lost their gun salesperson, their gun setter, their gun closer, all those things there. So the asset is the actual AI that's doing that day in, day out, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
How would we encounter it though? If there was a business that had this asset that you're calling an asset.
Yes.
I'm a consumer. I'm going to ring the business. How do I experience it?
So as a consumer, you would experience it through either Meta DMs, SMS, email. And if you're doing it through text, you won't even know you're talking to an AI if it's done
right. So give me an example in a real world.
So you might send a business a message on Instagram or Facebook saying, hey, I'm looking at this. I want to buy this product. Can you tell me a little bit more about it? Literally instantly within 30 seconds, even 10 seconds, you get a response back. You then have a conversation with that business thinking you're talking to a human, but in fact, you're talking to an AI. And that AI has helped you find out more about the information or more information about the products, like what you need to know. It's also qualified you to see if you're a good fit for that business or that product. And if you are, it's offered, hey, do you want to book a call and talk to someone on the team? Or here's a link to go buy the product. And you'll go through that whole experience. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning on a, you know, Tuesday night or a Tuesday morning. And you think you're talking to a helpful sales rep. And you're not. You're talking to an AI. That's one really, really clear example. And it could be even through email. So you fill in a form on the website. You instantly get a response by email or SMS. And again, you just have that conversation with the people as though you're talking to a human.
So you said by email or SMS. So as the business owner, do you get to make all those decisions at the setup point?
Yes. So from the business owner's perspective, what you're seeing there is, again, this is what we do. Not many other companies are doing this right now, which is you're building these like AI agents systems in these platforms, right? And so as a business owner, you can see and modify that platform and customize how you want that conversation to go.
So it's a bunch of rules, I assume. So like if it's a 1 a.m., you're not going to maybe
not gonna send a text. Correct. Call, right? That's right. Well, again, most others aren't doing this. So again, for us, just to forgive me for this, but essentially if someone opts in at 1 in the morning, we'll send them an email versus a text. We're not going to call them at 1 in the morning. And we'll say, hey, we noticed you filled in the form. It's now a good time to call. If they say yes, we'll call. If I say call tomorrow at 9 o'clock, we'll call tomorrow at 9 o'clock. So yes, there are some different rules about what you'd want to do at different stages. So it's a combination of automation and AI. But the beauty of it is, it's like with automation, people have to follow a specific flow. And if they try to go off that flow, off that sequence, it breaks the system. With AI, they can go anywhere they want, and the AI is going to keep on bringing them back to that flow that you want them to follow, all the way through to qualification, booking the call, or getting the sale. And so it can be your SMS, Meta DMs, WhatsApp, emails, even phone as well. That's one example. And so what basically happens with the clients is they get the accounts. They can go in and modify things if they'd like to. Obviously, we don't recommend that they do, but they can. And they have ownership and control over that asset. So they're not relying on third parties. They're not relying on, aside from like OpenAI, don't get me wrong with that, but they're not relying on having to continually, you know, pay other people for
that. So if I've paid a company like Early Bird to set up these AIs and I want to go in and change something, like I don't like that message that's being sent, or I don't want it to say this or that, how do you actually get under the hood? Like with your website, you go into Shopify and you can change prices and stuff. Is it like that? Like you get a login to a panel, or do you have to be a coder, or do you like, or is it pretty easy to go in and see?
Yeah, great question. So the hood. You typically, like, we come across two types of business owners. One that wants to know under the hood to make the changes themselves. And other ones is like, no, I don't want to know anything about it. You just look after it. So you can either pay a company like us to do that for you. Or again, once the system is built, you can learn how it all works. So you can go in and change things. So there's
but
some
you don't have
changes.
To be a full-on coder.
No. So you just log into the platform and you can look at like some different fields. Like there'll be like a coupon code field and you can change the coupon code. Or you can change the discount amount. Those sorts of things very easily. And the other thing too is just need to learn some basic prompting. It's all natural language. It's all like English. You don't
so you're
have
basically
to know...
doing brain surgery, really, aren't you? On your business's brain.
Exactly. Yep. And you know, the way that we designed it all, you have like the flow of the conversation and some different examples. So if you don't like what's coming out, you just change those examples. You change that flow.
Do you show people how to do it? Like when you hand it over, do you like say, here's a Loom video or...
Not currently, but it is something we want to do. It is something we definitely want to do because a lot of the things can be done, like simple things can be done very straightforwardly. But yeah, right now we give the account over, here it is. And if they want to learn how to do it, they can.
So you guys basically architect the big picture and then say, here it is. And then it's a bit like a website in some ways, right? Yeah. Like, so they'll build it out, the pages, but you can sort of self-edit many things.
Yeah, correct. So if you know what you're doing, just can go in and self-edit. And we are looking at actually showing and teaching that place there too, because it is valuable. I think the real value as a business owner, like I said before, if you have an AI champion, once the system is built and established and you have someone who knows how to run that system and make those basic changes, yeah, you're
just
laughing.
Just to be clear out there, then, so when you got, this is how Early Bird's different from, you know, there's quite a few basic chatbots or AI agents coming on the market everywhere. How you guys are different is that the potential client actually owns the new transfer ownership of that AI to them, or is it
correct?
And that's a lot of these other chat features which I'm looking to as well. You actually basically, you don't own them effectively.
Yeah,
there's not really an asset.
Correct. And the other thing too, with those other chat things, they're very segmented and individual. So you'll go and train it on this one tool over here. Then you want to do something over there and you have to go train it all over again. Right. So we're building with the future in mind with these things here to be fully customizable. So we're built on these really good base platforms. So as a business, they get that base platform. There's nothing stopping them from later on going and adding in customer service or delivery management or any of these other things there as well, because we have that this highly customizable singular platform that you can plug everything else into versus going over to that chatbot tool over here and then go, oh, I want to change over to that and get that voice tool over here. You have to retrain everything. So
because that's there's a lot of marketers that are just like white labeling little tools. Layer two solutions. So on their own, they've got a wrapper on this little voice bot.
Yeah.
And they're going out and marketing the shit out of it. But then if you need it to do email or SMS or something else, you go, oh, what is the brain driving that voice bot? And that's incompatible with this other voice bot thing that I bought over here. What you're saying is you build it on a thing and a layer that can plug in all these other things.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But you hand over the base layer.
Correct. And we focus purely on just the initial inquiry through the booking, the call. So we don't touch the other stuff. But if you as a business owner have someone else who can do that, or you want to engage someone else to do that, you can absolutely build over the top of it. So and that work is reduced.
Would that be your primary key target business now is essentially handling inbound communication?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's our main focus. Kind of like what we were talking about earlier, that you can pick one thing in this whole space of AI. We're not even touching HeyGen or any of these other things, their content creation, which we explored. Like we last year, as you know, if you look back in the episodes, we were doing everything. And obviously, we're working with Adam and Erica especially, like we're really just focusing in on just one thing. And that one space is so deep. And then the more you go into that one thing, the better you can make it as well. Like our product now versus what it was last year is 10 times better.
Yeah.
Because we've gone deep onto the real practical realities. Because that's the other thing too, there is a lot of hype in this space with AI. And everyone's like, oh, I can do this. But when you actually start going into do this thing, it's actually really difficult. And so the more we've dived deeper into just this one thing, the more we've been able to make it really practical for businesses, like with reports.
That one thing, to be clear, Chris, is to when somebody calls or texts.
Correct.
Like as in a Facebook or it's just to immediately engage and then drive them towards the outcome the business wants. That's what you do.
Yes.
You don't get into the video stuff. You don't get into the fancy audio stuff.
No.
It's just that to start with.
Correct.
Which I think is a huge...
It's valuable.
Yeah. It's, just another question around that. Just again, for the audience, I sort of understand it because we've been to a couple of meetings. It's not just using ChatGPT. It's using like a CRM-based platform. It's using like a Make or a Zapier. It's using a GPT. That it's using a multitude of different layers to build and get the outcome. Have you looked at like a Grok for a platform to use versus GPT? How's that sort of shaped?
Yes.
To add into your suite of products, if you will.
Yeah, it's a great question as well. So we primarily use ChatGPT or OpenAI, but we do also use Claude and Anthropic as a backup.
Mm-hmm.
But all these new models like DeepSeek and Grok that are coming out, when something new comes out, you don't want to start with it straight away, right? There's always going to be teething issues and everything. So we're watching those platforms right now and we always test them. So if Grok turns out to be better than OpenAI or Claude for all this, for what we need, we'll switch that model and put the others as a backup. And that's actually another really important thing too, because with every new developing tech, it can go down from time to time. And so most of the platforms, if they're just reliant on OpenAI only, OpenAI can crash for a while, as we've all experienced. And so what happens when that happens? We can switch across to Claude or potentially Grok. So we're watching all those tools and all the new things that come out. My advice there is, again, watch them, try them, experiment them, but wait a little while until you bring them deep into the fold, which is why we're using the more established platforms like OpenAI and Claude for that.
If you're a new business and you're setting up an online store and you got a range of, let's use Adam's example, right? So he's helping him and Josh, right? With the sleep brand. And he's created a whole list. And I want to ask you, on that list that you created, was there anything about AI on that list?
No, but we did use AI.
But this is a perfect example, right? So Adam would have created a list of, we got to do these 25 things.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't implement AI anywhere other than using the AI for keywords and bits and pieces and probably the coming up with the brand name and stuff like that. He then bumps into you, an AI expert, at a coffee shop. Where do you help Adam? Where do you guide Adam? Not as a, come on, as a paid client, just, hey, you need to do these three things.
Yeah, it's a great question. I would break it down to, like, we use the ACDC framework in the past. So attract, convert, deliver, and collect. Yeah. So I would first ask, what is the area of the business you need help most in? Is it attracting more traffic, more business? Is it trying to convert them into more traffic and leads, converting them into customers or clients, delivering the product or the service, or collecting payments and money? And then depending on what that, what's the biggest issue, then we dig into that. So let's just say it's conversing, right? So for e-commerce, we could look at things and going, okay, cool. You want to look at improving your website copy, your abandoned cart checkouts, right? You can do emails, SMSs, phone calls, all those elements there too. So I would start off with some sort of framework, find out where the biggest pain point is, and then dive deep into that and explore the different options. Because if it's attracting more people, it could be like your HeyGens, your Arcads, all those elements there too.
Yep. Because that's the thing, right? Like, obviously, we're talking about implementing AI, and you have to implement AI, and it's still not, you know, at the forefront of the conversations.
It's interesting because it's an interesting point that wasn't on the list, but it was also interesting reflection. For those of you who missed the pod, I talked about how I worked with Josh to basically get 90%, and his mum, of course, our cast, we got 90% of a building a business from zero to ready to launch in like 30 days. But we did it by writing a big long list of everything that had to be done and then delegating it out between the three of us and doing it. But it was interesting watching Josh in particular do his bits. Like, we watched the logo and the name and all the website copy be done with AI. And so it was really interesting watching him just organically. And I think young people now, it's just like, well, of course you use AI. It's just natural to them. It is definitely.
I'm building the house at the moment, right? And the amount of inquiry that we've put in, right? When you have an interior designer, they specify certain products and you realize that might not work, or this one needs to be changed, or that's way too expensive, or the quality's not good enough on this one. And you're putting on inquiries. You're ringing, you're texting, you're DMing, you're sending emails, you're calling. People don't reply, man. It is a problem.
It's a huge problem.
You know, we're not just talking backyard operators. We're talking big companies, right? Like, I'm still waiting on a quote. I was actually going to talk about it on a pod, and I'm still debating what I'm going to. Made an inquiry. Had to follow up 2 times. They send me an email. All right, I call them. I'm old school. Get on the phone. All right, yeah, we'll get you a quote. Okay, boom. They replied back with a couple more questions. It's been 3 weeks. Okay. Crickets. 3 weeks. And I'm talking, it's going to be an expensive thing. And since then, we found a different solution, a more cost-effective solution. But because I had the time, if they got back to me straight away, I might have just
locked it in.
That's
right.
And I know it's going to be expensive. And this would have been probably anywhere between $5,000 to $10,000 item.
Yep.
3 weeks. Still crickets. And I'm like, how many more people is that happening to? And how many owners aren't realizing that's even happening? Because I'm not dealing with the owner there. Right. I was a sales support person.
I did it recently with a lawyer trying to update my will. And it took them, I think it was 2 weeks before I said, can you give me some times that I can come in? I'm available on this. It took 3 weeks to get a response for when I could get a time to do a will update.
Yeah.
Surely there's got to be an AI, somebody goes and puts that service layer on it and says, these are authentic wills done through our website using AI. Here's how you register it. Here's how you do it. And we can do it for $19.95 and it can be here today.
You know, there's a company that's raised money to do very similar stuff, legal services in the USA. I think they've raised hundreds of millions of dollars.
Oh, 100%. And wills is just one thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was waiting 3 weeks just to get the freaking appointment. Yeah. I would have waited another 2 or 3 weeks to get the update.
Yeah.
It'd be a 2-3 month exercise. And again, capital moves to efficiency.
And how much will that cost you?
I don't know. I'm guessing $500 to $600 for the update.
How many other $500 to $600 are not being taken?
Yeah, exactly. 100%. There's so much inefficiency in the old market. Like the legacy, there's so much inefficiency. You talked about it with human beings. Yeah, like there's a massive amount of inefficiency. And for young people looking at this who can get their head around it, you just go very narrow and very deep, and there's unlimited capital pools out there pretty much for driven, committed people.
Big time. And just even that, like just being really practical. I mentioned earlier about having like an AI champion. Part of that AI champion's role, whether it's you or someone else, could be literally looking at all areas of the business and finding out what's going wrong, right? We've done this with early birders. You know, we've worked with you guys on that too. Just looked, okay, these are some things that could be more efficient and you just address them. So you literally sit down and look at the business and just outline all the areas that could be improved. And you go, okay, what's the most important one? Boom, attack that. What are some AI solutions for it? Things like that.
Elon Musk, good. You know, he's big on working from first principles.
Mm.
Like if you're going to build a rocket, don't ring NASA and ask what the parts are. Find out what the parts got to do. Find out what the raw material cost is and the rules of physics, and then let's build from there. And that's how he is able to do stuff on a fraction, right? But I can't remember who said it, but they said, if you are pricing intelligence at anything more than zero in your business, you're making a mistake. And so imagine looking at all businesses, right? And like, for example, everybody sitting at this desk, our intelligence is, if it's priced at zero, could we replace ourselves with AI? Right. So if you were to look at your own business and you look at all these people, I'm talking now to businesses that have got a few staff, and you look at each person in isolation one by one, what do they actually do? Now, let's start with the fact that I think you're worth zero, right? Now, I'm not saying you say this to your employee, but if you start in the mindset is, I could probably replace you for zero. So let's talk about why you should stay in the business.
Anyone's doing that with Doge right now to all the government employees. Actually, give me a report of what you did last week where you fired.
Right.
Five things.
Explain to me why I should be paying you anything when... Now, I know we're going to get fried on this and I'm not trying to be... I'm just talking about that this is how savage business owners work. This is how capitalism works. It's ugly, but that's the starting point. And this is the shift that's happening. And it's happening, it's going to happen, like they say, slowly, then all at once. And all of a sudden, CEOs are going to go, hang on, I'm paying this guy 100 grand a year. Explain to me why.
Yeah, and also the flip side as well. I heard recently as well where you want to look at your revenue per employee. So you can look at it and go, okay, why should you stay? Great. Or how can you go from generating 100 grand for the business to 150 with the exact same, it's the same person using AI. And that also is extremely valuable too.
If you're digging holes or you're changing tires, okay, different thing. But most businesses, many of them, if you're not physically touching matter, right, and it's, you're a human robot, you've really got to, as a business owner, start thinking about that, because if you don't disrupt yourself, somebody else will.
Yeah.
Stephen Bartlett at Diary of the CEO, you know, when we went and saw Stephen in Brisbane, he has a team of 8 people that are trying to produce a podcast with AI with better metrics than Diary of a CEO. And he said, we're about 95% there. Where we've got AIs producing fully produced AI podcasts that are almost as good as Diary of the CEO, and we're the best podcast in the world from a metrics point of view. That's scary. But that's why Stephen will survive, because he's disrupting himself. He's got podcasts on Formula One and sporting and special interest podcasts that are all AI.
And you'd never be able to do that any other way. You're not going to be sitting there pumping out 10 podcasts a week, week after week after week after week, without getting burnt out and without throwing in the towel at some point. But the scalability of that,
you wouldn't be able to do it any other way. No other way. I mean, I've actually thought about it myself, going, if I grabbed, for example, in podcasting, I've thought about launching let's say, a Bitcoin podcast. I find 5 podcasts that I love about Bitcoin that I already follow, go to the channel, grab the transcript, put all 5 transcripts into Grok or OpenAI and say, I want to make one podcast that highlights the top 10 stories out of these 5 podcasts. Create me a script that goes for an hour for 2 people. Boom, there's the script. Then go to Google LM and say, turn that into a podcast, click.
Yeah.
And I literally could create that podcast with no talent, no studio, nothing. I'm not shitting you, in 20 minutes.
And go to HeyGen and go, I want James and Adam.
Yes.
To talk about it.
I didn't think of that.
Right. Another layer again.
I could add the video now by doing that. Exactly right. So then I got a video podcast by using one other tool, and I could produce a podcast a day sitting from behind my computer on any subject matter I want for free almost routinely. And there's plenty of faceless channels out there. Some of them now got 500,000 followers that I follow, or 1 million followers, and they're faceless YouTube channels doing exactly this. Yep. And they're getting, like, if you've got a video, like our Pauline Hanson pod did two, 100,000 views?
Over
200. Right. So I think we made, I don't know, but I think it was $3,000 or something. Did they pay us?
Yeah, it was a few grand.
I think it was like $3,000 in AdSense revenue from that. Now, if I could build a YouTube channel that has 1 million followers that's publishing every day, do the math.
Yep.
We got $3,000 from 200,000. So if you can get 1 million views a week, times that by five, you've got $15,000 a week coming in from a faceless YouTube channel, and it'd literally take you half an hour a day. I've actually thought about this as a thing for me to do.
And that's one source of revenue. You have sponsorships. That's also something else as well. You have affiliate links you can put onto the description.
Yeah, that's
the
just the AdSense.
Well.
Yeah. There's merch under there.
Yep, merch.
These guys are selling T-shirts, the ones that I follow. It's one called Savvy Finance, and it's an AI voice. They've got merch and everything else. And you just think, I honestly don't even think people speak English. I think it's a Chinese made one. Good on them, power to them. But if you're interested in something, that what I just gave you is an example of just finding something and seeing the opportunity. I did it with audiobooks many years ago when the iPod came out. I wrote top 100 free domain books, so no copyright. Think and Grow Rich was one of them. I got it read by an actor and I punched it into Audible and I got paid a fortune, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. I still get royalties to this day by simply seeing that opportunity.
Huge.
Honestly, when I think about AI and where the future is going, and Instagram, like now even on Instagram and Facebook as an example, and you're scrolling through and getting targeted, so many more ads that are AI generated that you can kind of still tell. But in the future, we will not be able to tell the difference unless you're in physical form, whether you're real or not. And that's my croc brain that kicks in, right? Because I'm not a digital native. And I just think about that. And how does, you know, makes me feel a little bit uneasy, to be honest with you, going, I'm just going to be listening in to computers, and I'm going to be watching computers, all computer generated images.
Probably far more intelligent and intellectual than listening to humans.
Yeah. It's
well, that's a deeper conversation. Like what's that going to spike? Is that going to spike a return to Jesus? Like, is it going to be a boom in religion?
Yeah.
Like what?
Community, face to face community.
Well, think about events. Also back in the days of like e-commerce, the very first time people thought about putting their credit card into a website to buy a product, people didn't want to do it. Now it's commonplace. You wouldn't think of doing business without that. And so that exact thought is natural and is what people are going to think through.
That comment there, it's not just the younger generation that are not scared of putting credit card in. My old lady, she's 78. She's got no issue putting a credit card in line and buying stuff online now. So the shift is not just for digital natives at all.
Yeah.
It's now widely accepted.
And we talk to a lot of people, right? Obviously from the pod and the coaching and stuff, and we meet a lot of people. We talk business, we talk property, all kinds of stuff. And there's literally people out there that don't believe in AI, that are not implementing AI, that are not using ChatGPT at all.
It's wild.
And I feel sorry for those people. I really do. Anyone that's looking to get into business or starting a business or have a business, you have no choice. This isn't a matter of adopting it or not. In my view, you literally have no choice. At what level you bring it in is up to you.
The tsunamis
hit. You have to adopt. Exactly. Yep. The tsunamis hit. The wave is coming. There's waves already on shore. And you need to embrace it and get over, you know, the scariness of it, the unknown, and just start researching and get educated.
Well, we're in scary times, but also really, really exciting times. So coming back to what Adam was saying earlier about the UBI versus the people who are going to be out of that thing, we have a massive opportunity to get out of that sort of future that's coming. Like it's almost guaranteed to go down that path. And we have the huge opportunity of actually using these tools that are relatively cheap, if not free, and very simple to use, to get ourselves out of it without having to go and dig ditches and work backbreaking labor.
Did you see that video that Joe Rogan put up of the robot at the fights?
No.
No, in China. So there's some Chinese event and there was these fights. And they had, don't know if it's real or not, but let me tell you, man, this robot acted just like a human the way it was. And there was security that had to kind of control it and tame it. but the way it was moving its legs and the mannerisms, I was just like, and he's like, this is, it's on his Instagram. And he's like, this is the scary shit about AI robots. Well,
you think about it from the back of the days of like backyard cockfighting with roosters, they yeah. have robot fighting and you build the best, you know, destroy.
That's a good yeah. business. Yeah.
Right. Land up bets on.
Well, look
on
at the AI robot. Did they have a show about it? The Robot Wars, or
yeah,
the remote control, yeah. you know, like cars that they make.
And you'd have your Rod Tang and Sanshai as robots and just go to a football type fight.
So it's Sayogan.
The Conor McGregor yeah. version.
The Street Fighter.
Just smash the fucking Kogan, took a piss into that car.
Doing a big rail on the side.
Yeah.
yeah. Chris, it's interesting. I mean, I don't know. You just mentioned there about, you know, digging ditches. I think that's a little bit of a, I don't think we'll end up there. I don't think people are going to be like, you're making number plates if you're not in AI.
Oh, no, no, no.
You know.
Sorry, what I meant there is that we have massive opportunity without having to go out there and do really hard work.
Yes.
Yeah, it's hard emotional work, but not hard physical work. Yeah. So that's what I was trying to say.
And it is actually like, it's kind of fun. Like one of the things about human beings, I think you can be afraid of these things, right? But it's also really fun and creative. Like Matt said to me, I never thought I would be so into artificial intelligence music.
Mm.
And he's kind of geeking out on it. I think for a lot of you, especially those of you who don't identify as being cutting edge or AI, go take the challenge, take the ArcAds challenge, go and write a 50-word script, go to ArcAds and make your first artificial intelligence video. I've got an older guy who follows me. He's 60 or so, a lovely guy. He texts me all the time on Instagram, and he has launched Benny the Bear. And Benny the Bear is like a children's cartoon character, and he's making episodes on using AI. And he's got his own Benny the Bear YouTube channel, and he just likes bringing levity in a world of sadness and anger and porn, you know, rage porn and all this sort of stuff, right? And he's just a good human, and it keeps him interested. And what are you laughing at, James?
Yeah, I had to go to the porn thing every time.
No, rage porn, like people getting angry at, you know, not porn, rage porn, you know, where they're outraged.
I get angry at porn sometimes too.
No, to be clear, I'm not even talking about it, but whatever. So Benny the Bear, so, you know, like you might be amazed when you start learning this stuff, what it triggers in you, and there's actually artistic... there's artistic expressions of AI as well, like artificial intelligence, art and photography and video and creating film. So just be open and just let yourself wander into a field that you're unfamiliar with. And that in itself can be quite a pleasant and surprising experience sometimes.
Yeah. You just gave me an idea. This is probably something I should do with my kids, you know, like creating hey Jen video or hey, you want to, you know, a girl walking through the fields and flowers in Italy. All right, let's create it. You know, like just getting their mind, put them around it,
frame it. That's the whole process.
Yeah. But put them in that place as well. I heard that there's a company looking at doing that where they create stories where the child is the hero. You know, and so you can have the visuals of them doing that as well. There's a lot of cool things you could add on top, which is it's wild.
A mate of ours, Adam Ritchie, put up the post of his dog smoking a cigar on motorbikes and he's using Grok. Did you see
this
post?
Yes.
And they were like unbelievable quality pictures. I mean, you print them and put them on the walls as art.
Yeah, that's right.
Like you see.
It is incredible when you start getting into it. So you just might be surprised. I've just brought Benny the Bear out one of his YouTube reels.
Wow.
You know, like it's really beautiful what's being generated. He loves doing it. And even though he's only got a small community of followers, it's a meaningful community of followers. Like this is Benny the Bear's Big Adventure Bedtime Stories, 304 views, you know, and his followers are following him. It's just, you know, it's cool.
You look at this, like how much did Jobs and Pixar go for? I mean, that's nearly over. Like if my old mate, what's his name, sorry, can create Benny the Bear from home for like no subscription fees, probably $20 a month. Like Pixar.
Yeah, but all it's going to take is momentum.
That'll get momentum. Right. And then there'll be Benny the Bear cups and there'll be Benny the Bear bears that people will be able to buy. It comes back to that old essay by Paul Graham, who founded Y Combinator, 1,000 True Fans, right? Mm. It's an old essay. You can download it off the internet. But his contention is if you can get 1,000 true fans of almost anything, you can make $100,000 a year income. because you just need to make $100 profit from each of those true fans that truly love Benny the Bear.
Out of how many people? Out of how many people?
Oh, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
how many hundreds of millions?
Yeah, like we could probably make right now, I reckon we could probably make 50 grand a year out of baseball caps.
Yep.
You know, just if we wanted to get into pushing baseball caps, once you've got an audience that likes and trusts you. So anyway, this whole pod today, guys, has really just been to A, raise the alarm if you're in business and wake up to the fact that, look, entrepreneurship, capitalism, money flows to the most efficient users of it, of resources, most efficient users of capital and humans. Those who are best at that win, right? And if you're currently winning and you're not willing to disrupt yourself, enjoy your temporary status, right? And if you're in business, and if you're an employee and you don't disrupt yourself and start adding skills, you may be disrupted. And don't be afraid of AI, because there is lots of incredible opportunities that are intellectually, emotionally, spiritually, creatively engaging out there if you just take that positive view to it.
Yeah.
I kind of am of the view that it's probably 5% chance of going to shit and probably 95% chance that it's going to be a great future, because that's how humans are. Humans usually figure this stuff out.
As an employee, I'd be thinking, when you go into a job interview, you know, one of the questions they should be asking you is, show me the quality of prompts that you do in ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
And if that scares you,
well,
imagine going into a job interview and saying, listen, just so you know, on my resume is a whole AI section here.
Yes.
There's a whole bunch of things I'd be happy to show you that I'm learning that will probably help you guys create massive efficiency.
You would stand out. I mean,
you'd be hired in a second.
Yeah. Talking about prompts, there's no secret to it now. There's was blasted all over Instagram is that the CFO or CEO of OpenAI said how to structure a prompt correctly to get the most out of GPT. So there's no excuse not to jump on Instagram or search that CEO of OpenAI, how to structure a perfect prompt. If you're going to go to OpenAI and have a little look with it, it's not going to get any better than the advice from him.
And you're not going to want that employee to go, yeah, I've got, thanks for the interview. So I've got a big day. I've got the first interview with you, and then I've got three interviews with your competitors.
Yeah.
That's
like having a gun to the head without having a gun to the head.
Like if I was
reverse negotiation.
But you get the idea, right? Like if you really know your shit, I'm not saying you're that rude and abrupt, but that's what a smart business owner is going to see. This chick is a killer with this stuff, and we need to get that in-house.
You need me more than I need you.
it's getting that way. And I guess to your point earlier about like approaching this with an open mind, like we've got the massive wave of a tsunami coming. We have the opportunity to build the best surfboard to ride that wave, because it's going to be the best wave ever, right? If you build the right surfboard for it as well. And then you asked earlier as well about what would I do if
yes,
I start
let's
from
close
yeah, so let's close it off with that. So let's repeat the question again. So basically, young, old, doesn't matter. If you're looking for a side hustle or you're looking to, you know, be a consultant of some kind, whether you want to work remotely or not, what are some things that you can go and do some deep learning on around the AI space that you can add value to other companies?
Yeah, so really good question, and I hope you do it justice as well, because I would start, if it was me, I would start by just talking to business owners, right? As an entrepreneur, we want to solve problems. So you want to ask them what problems they've got in their business right now that they're willing to pay for. Offer to do it for free using AI. Get those case studies and get those initial results, and then use that to leverage paid positions as well. So look, it might involve actually getting out and talking to people.
Sure.
But at the same time, you're going to find out what problems people have. Like, so we're talking to people every single day. And we find out like not just the problems they've got that we can help solve, but dozens and dozens of other problems that they have that they're willing to pay for. So step one for me would be talk to people who have problems that you can solve or you want to solve, then offer to do solve those problems for free using AI. And I'll get into that in a moment as well. Get the results, get some testimonials and even some case studies, and then start charging the next people you talk to about it as well. And in terms of what you can actually look and help them with, I mentioned earlier, we broke businesses down. It's like the ACDC framework. So attract, convert, deliver, collect. So if you have an affinity towards content creation, start looking at things like your HeyGens, Arcads, ChatGPTs, which we've talked about. If you've got more of an affinity for like, I guess, conversions, helping people sell, you can go to those same tools and just ask them, how do you write the best video sales letter, best webinar script, the best email sequence that's going to get people to buy? Same with delivery and also collecting money as well. Just that in and of itself will be absolutely huge. If you're also looking for more the consumer side, look at where eyeballs and attention is going. So just do some YouTube searches, right? Look at what's most popular on YouTube. Start some of these faceless YouTube channels. I think it's a great idea. One of the best ideas I think open out there right now. Because it doesn't just have to be on YouTube. It can be on TikTok. It can be on X. It can be on Instagram and everything too. So from the business perspective, talk to business owners, find out problems they want solved. From the consumer perspective, look at where the attention is going. And that's measured by views on videos typically, whether it's Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. And then look for the AI tools to help.
If you don't know where the attention is, who do you ask?
AI.
Yep.
Exactly.
And if you're sitting here going, yes, Chris, but what AI tools can I use? Who do you ask? ChatGPT.
That's right. Absolutely.
I think this is just like a thing that's just, again, it's another one of those asteroids hitting. James and Mark, for example, were really quick to switch from Google for everything to AI for everything. I'm now finally reestablishing that habit where I'm like, I don't really go to Google that much now. I go to OpenAI on my phone. I just open the app, ChatGPT. I'll just go ChatGPT on my phone, ask it a question, and I get a much, much better answer out of that. So the more you switch from the Google mind to the AI mind, that's when you start to integrate it into your daily life. But Chris, you said one thing that's very interesting. Solve the problem for free. And a lot of young people today, not to be too critical, I love our young people, but it's to realize, yes, you have no value right now. That's okay. We all started with no value. You have to make the value. You have to demonstrate the value. You have to be willing to work for free. Yeah. And then you build credibility. 7X, who does all the work here, they're working with us now because they offered to work for free at the start and demonstrated their value. Now they've got a really good business and thriving.
Yeah.
So that's a great approach.
Yeah, agree. Chris, honestly, the value you bring to these conversations, it's greatly appreciated. You are probably one of the, well, probably the only guy that I know that is, I guess, delves into this AI space so, so deeply and has so much conviction towards it. And, what you do doesn't go unseen. It really doesn't. You're a very valuable person, to all of us here and a very valuable person to the listeners. Like, this is a topic that I think will just continue to, evolve. And yeah, really appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
If you want to connect with Chris, you can find him at Early Bird. So EARLI, earlybird.ai. Have a chat with him if you're interested in working with him. Otherwise, yeah, thanks for your contribution, James. Thanks for being here. Hopefully it was helpful, guys. Drop a comment. You know what to do. Bye for now.
Hey there. I hope you enjoyed that episode of Unemployable. If you'd like to watch another episode, just click there.